Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 23rd July 2020, Thursday class. Okay, let us develop the ability to relax body and mind and silence our mind to develop the meditation. For those who are new, if you don't understand what meditation is, you can maybe do it the way you understand it. Then later on, you can ask me if you are not sure. So what we are doing here is we straight away go into the meditative state. For those who already have the spiritual faculty, the Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya is already there. So your mind state is actually the meditative state, because with the spiritual faculties, the mental hindrance cannot arise. So you just relax body and mind, silent. You will be in the meditative state straight away. So as cultivator, most of you would have developed the spiritual faculty on your own. Saddha and Virya can be developed separately through an understanding of who the Buddha is and how wise a being he is and how special a teaching that he has taught us. So when we see the beauty of the Buddha's teaching and when we understand how great a being the Buddha is, we will have great respect and faith in him. So that faith will drive us to cultivate. That's how the spiritual zeal, virya, will arise. And all meditations start with cultivation or sati. That's why the third spiritual faculty come about. Whatever you do, you're supposed to develop sati. So all the method and technique and skillful means that they taught you, these are just series of instructions to anchor the mind, to train the mind in sati. But people cannot understand. They thought that is the meditation. So that's where the confusion is. So if that is the case, they have to do it because they lack spiritual faculties. If you have the spiritual faculty, you don't need technically any method or technique. But if you are used to it and you need to go through it to develop the ability to be peaceful, to be calm and to be mindful, no harm doing it. But the fastest way is just to relax and maintain awareness. Then don't try to know, let the mind settle down, slow down and become very quiet. Then stabilize that silence, the awareness within, until it becomes very clear, very stable, until you know what that thing is. The awareness nature, which is the silent within, that is your true mind, that is your meditative mind, that is what we call our self nature, our true nature. It's just an awareness nature within, without thought. Okay, so we will start off by going through the Jai Krishnamurti Code before we continue. Okay, this Jai Krishnamurti Code is a very unique code. The title is Meditation. So the profoundness and completeness of this code is really amazing and beautiful. It shows that Jai Krishnamurti is very wise. For him to have that understanding and put it in such beautiful words. So for those who are not familiar with Jai Krishnamurti code, maybe I will go through and explain it to you all so that you can develop that deep understanding. He used day-to-day words and he described meditation in his own way through his own understanding, which is very profound. But finally, when you understand, it's actually from the same teaching that the Buddha has taught us. And through the Buddha's teaching, we can also realize all this. So I will read to then you will understand. So meditation, according to Jay Krishnamurti, he said meditation is the beginning of order. This is very profound and very beautiful. Why do we meditate? We have to ask ourselves that question. We have to inquire. The purpose of meditation, like what the Buddha has taught us, is to develop the wisdom, the understanding, to liberate our mind so that we can be free from all suffering. That's what meditation is all about. So when we have the wisdom, our life will have order. We will not be heedless. We will not do wrong thing. We will obey law. It's nature's law, not society's law. Order in the sense that everything follows nature's law. So we accord and flow. So this sentence is very beautiful. Meditation is the beginning of order. Means from now onward, after you develop the meditation, you will not be heedless. You will not simply do things. You will develop wisdom and understanding to bring about great transformation to your life so that you can be a blessing to all. Then the second sentence is even more beautiful. It describes directly what meditation is. So according to Jay Krishnamurti, he said meditation is the awareness. Note this word, awareness, or what we call in Buddhist mindfulness. So when you are aware or mindful without thought, that is meditation. But aware of what? Aware of the movement of thought as the me, the egoic mind as the center. So when you can be aware of all the movement of thought, then you are developing wisdom. That is meditation. That's why meditation is about awareness, mindfulness. We train the mind to be aware and stabilize it to be ever mindful, same as what the Buddha said. To be ever mindful, to be heedful of what? To be heedful of the five aggregates of form and mind, which is the thought, the second aspect of the five aggregates of five form and mind. So it's exactly the same. People don't understand. People thought meditation is something very special, very esoteric. Thinking that they close their eyes, they sit down there, there is meditation. No. The form of meditation, if you don't know how to do, you will do it wrongly. You're supposed to relax and silence your mind to develop the awareness, to observe, to see clearly, to understand how you function as a human being, and through that process understand who are you, what are you, and how the thought process through its wrong view condition you into negativity that condition or brings about suffering to the living being. So all this you can see them when you are mindful, and to be observant, to be attentive, to have the mindfulness and the awareness to see all this clearly, to develop the understanding is meditation. Then after that, the third sentence is even more beautiful. He said meditation is the total, absolute inward freedom, not partial freedom. Total, complete, absolute, inward freedom. And to realize that, you must be free of all images. So this inward freedom in which there is not a single image means the freedom from all the things that human being or living being or mankind has put together as reality, means all of human beings' concept, idea of truth, belief in God, religious belief system, your views, your opinion, your idea, all of your tradition. These are the images that we create. When we see somebody, we create an image of what that person is. When we look at society, the world, we create an image based on what we perceive. And all these images are our own self-creation, which is born of delusion because we have not developed the wisdom as yet. We cannot see things as they are. So whenever you have images, it's an idea, it's a concept. It's something created by the mundane mind. So this sentence is so beautiful. I read again, hopefully you understand. Meditation is the total, absolute, inward freedom in which there is not a single image. Means complete freedom from all the things or images that man has put together as reality. When you understand this, then what happened? Then the natural sequence is the flowering of silence. What does it mean? Means if you know that is the meditation that leads to that complete freedom, total, absolute, inward freedom without images, nothing. And what is that? That is the complete silence. That's why we develop the ability to realize the silent mind, our true mind, that nature. That is the one that you're supposed to develop the understanding of. So when you are able to be there, then the natural sequence is the flowering of that silence. That silent mind is the beginning of meditation. When you can be aware, when you can be aware of that silent, that true mind, that self nature, the silent awareness nature, that is the beginning of nature. Then when you stay there, stabilize it, the natural sequence of it is the flowering of that silence. That silence, you no need to do anything, it will flower by itself. Then in that silence is that quality of energy. That's why I told you that awareness is the wisdom energy, the quality of that pure wisdom energy that you have never touched before. And that is the transforming factor. That's how Po Cheng came to know. No need to do anything. It just like let you understand, unfold by itself. This is what he meant, Krishnamurti meant by the transforming factor. The real creative movement of life. Without that silent awareness within that nature, you cannot understand life. You cannot develop wisdom. You cannot have that energy that is beyond thought, beyond mind, that is transforming, that can transform the living being. Awaken their understanding. So this part is very beautiful. I will read again. Then the natural sequence is the flowering of silence, and in that silence is that quality of energy you have never touched before. And this is the transforming factor, the real creative movement of life. Because from there, that nature which is creative without thought, everything arises. That's why it's the movement of life. In that silence, a great many other things goes on. You remember just now I say, when you realize that silent mind, that nature, that is only the beginning of meditation. Then as you stay there, a lot of things happen. That's why Krishnamurti described it in this way. He said, in that silence, a great many other things go on. And this one is the unconditioned, beyond thought, beyond mind. I cannot describe it to you until you have done it, like Bojang. So this movement, which is completely beyond, can never be understood via the thought process. You have to realize it. You have to go through the transformation, the awakening. So this part is the most beautiful. I will read it again. In that silence, a great many other things go on. Because in that silence, the brain is orderly. Or the brain becomes orderly. Orderly means it has the understanding. It is not in disorder. Means not heedless, not chaotic. Disorder means rioting, creating problem. Like your country is in disorder. Means no rule. No more rule of law. Nobody is guiding it. So it has become disorder. But when you have that silence, that brain transforms. Because that nature's energy will allow you to understand many, many things. That's how my nature come to understand. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. It will not use that memory. It will act according to understanding, which is wisdom. That's why in that silence, the brain become orderly. Means when you see something, when you perceive something, the brain doesn't interfere anymore with what you see. The brain doesn't come in and tell you through the conditioned thinking. Your belief system, your views, your opinion doesn't act from the heedless accumulated memory. Because your accumulated memory is full of your bias rubbish. Your fear, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your phobia, your like and dislike, your habitual tendency, and all of your conditioning and belief system. Whatever that you have experienced through life, you accumulated them. And that one cannot act. Yeah, that one is full of rubbish, wrong view, conditioning, belief system. It has nothing to do with truth. You can't see things as they are with that memory. But the memory keep on reacting and stirring. It can never be at peace. There is no order. For the brain to have order, there must be wisdom. There must be understanding. That's the reason why the direct seeing, every moment of sense experience become different. The mind that observe is the direct seeing, the specific phenomenal awareness, seeing as they are. The brain doesn't interfere. It wants to know, it can know. Like what I used to share with you all early on. You hardly think. You only think when you need to use the mundane mind to live life, to think, or to do things, or to share and understand. So this part is the most beautiful one. The brain becomes orderly. Then I read on. It will function when necessary. See? Exactly like what I came to know. Otherwise, it is completely quiet. Means without thought. That's what the brain of the enlightened being is all about. No longer heedless. No longer like normal living being. Think a lot. Worry a lot. Agitated. Full of negativity or mind state with the evil root inside. Whereas the enlightened being's brain or mind is completely different. Tranquil, still. And within that silence, it is so beautiful. It only functions when necessary, otherwise it's completely quiet. Then in this silence, thought has no place, and therefore there is no time. Thought is psychological time. Here, time refers to the timeless. When you don't arise any thinking, there is no psychological time. That silence cannot be measured by the mundane mind. In that quiet stillness, that which is not describable, see? You cannot describe it because it's unconditioned. No words can describe it. And also, which is nameless, which is not the product of time and thought. That's why you cannot label. You cannot use word or concept or idea to describe it. Yeah. It's that movement, and that is the creation, means the creative energy. So the whole definition is so beautiful, so profound, so complete. I have yet to come across another daily code that has such depth and understanding of meditation. That's the reason why when I came across this code, my nature rejoiced. And really, unless Jay Krishnamurti has that understanding, he cannot put them in words so beautifully. So hopefully with this, you all can understand what meditation is, why the silent mind is so important, why you must stay with the awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, because this is the real meditation. So I read through the whole code one more time so that you can get the full meaning. Meditation is the beginning of order. Meditation is awareness of the movement of thought as the ego, the me. Meditation is total, absolute inward freedom in which there is no single image. Freedom from all the images or things that man has put together as reality. Then the natural sequence is the flowering of that silence. In that silence is the quality of energy, wisdom energy, pure energy. You have never touched before. And that is the transforming factor, the real creative movement of life. In that silence, a great many other things go on. Because in that silence, the brains become orderly. It will function when necessary. Otherwise, it is completely quiet and still. In this silence and stillness, thought has no place, and therefore there is no time, no psychological time. That silence cannot be measured. In that quiet stillness, that which is not describable, which is nameless, which is not the product of time and thought, is that movement that is the creation. So beautiful. Yeah? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. So go through it a few times to develop the stability of the understanding. Then you will appreciate what meditation is. Then you will do the correct meditation. Relax, maintain awareness to realize that silent finish. Then everything will move from there. That's why don't try to know. Don't try to do. Yes, the doing and the knowing is always by the thought, the mundane mind. So you meditate with the true mind, your nature, not the mundane mind. Not all the thought process, the verbalization, the chattering, then the egoic mind. So all this, when you start to understand, you will know. Thought-based meditation never leads to realization. Thought-based meditation is not a meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha is mindfulness-based or awareness-based. So thought-based leads to division, focusing, concentrating. Then the thought is actively doing meditation. When thought is active, how can you be silent? How can you be quiet? How can you be mindful or aware? You are lost in thought, heedlessly thinking, reacting to sense experience, then develop emotion out of what you think. That's why all the wrong thought will start to condition your suffering and misery. So as we have come to understand what are wrong thoughts, thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your delusion, these are all wrong thoughts. So when you understand all this, you will come to know whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, restless and heedless, the evil roots are there. Those are wrong thoughts that condition negativity or mind state with the evil roots. That's how you get yourself entangled. That's how you get yourself afflicted. That's how suffering comes to be. So all this understanding will unfold when you are mindful. When you are able to see all this movement, then you will come to a very profound understanding of what meditation is. It's not about the thought. Thought is useful. But you must develop the wisdom to use thought. Otherwise, thought becomes egoic, deluded. Because without wisdom, this thought is deluded. The user of thought without wisdom is deluded, has the self-delusion, sakkayaditti. That's why thought becomes egoic when you lack wisdom. When you have understanding and wisdom, thought become your beautiful tool, servant, serve you well. So the user of thought can arise right thought. And right thought condition, right speech, right livelihood, and right action. That's what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. So without right view, there is no right thought. And right view comes from wisdom, right understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. So all these are very beautiful. And when we have that understanding, we will transform. We will develop meditation differently. Then we experience that nature within, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's how awakening can arise. That's how wisdom can unfold. That's how we can liberate our mind, develop the understanding to be at peace with all things. Our mind is always at peace, anywhere, any place, anytime, irrespective of what the situation is. We understand clearly who we are, what we are, our awareness nature, our true nature, our pure nature, and the form of mind, which is the karmically conditioned form of mind. And these are interconnected, integrated as a complete understanding. That's why the complete understanding encompasses the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. You have to awaken to both. You have to realize both. Then only you can understand life and live life completely. Otherwise, you are one-sided. You can still caught in duality. Okay, we will now stop the Jai Krishnamurti code sharing. We will move on back to where we stopped. Page 153. The third foundation of mindfulness, Chitta Nupassana. Like the second foundation, Vedana Nupassana. Here we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion and the various state of consciousness, etc. When the content of consciousness has the evil roots of greed, one must be aware. to deal with it as above, so as to develop the wisdom to free the mind. So this third foundation of mindfulness is about mindfulness of citta. And what is citta? Citta is the thought, the pure consciousness with its content. That's why the content of consciousness is what you must be aware of. So the content of consciousness are the conditioning that you input into the consciousness. That's how the thought become egoic. So when the thought become egoic, it will have the content of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how the movement arises. So when you are mindful, aware, whenever there is this selfishness, emotional negativity, or fear, worry, anxiety, or doubt, it straight away can be mindful of it. It's straight away aware. The mind is sensitive because within that silence, it can immediately become aware. And the moment it's aware, it will know. The evil root has arisen. So like the mental hindrance, feeling has been conditioned into like and dislike. These are mental hindrances. The first two, sensual desire and evil. If you have them, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So straight away, you will have to trace its origination factor, means how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then when you understand how it arise, if you continue to silent, then you will know how it sees, where finally it sees. So when you are able to trace its origination factor, then you realize it's from your senses. That's how it comes in. Before you become emotional, angry, fearful, there was none. It arise after you input your content or consciousness through your wrong view. Then you realize the problem is not people, not the world. It's with the wrong view that you are holding on to. That you cannot see things as they are. You cannot accept the world as the world. You cannot accept people as the way they are. That's how you stir your mind. You react. That's how you develop the selfishness. You divide, you separate yourself from others. Then when you cannot get what you want, you become angry, emotional. Then when you cannot understand, you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So all this is meditation. Awareness itself can give you the understanding and the wisdom. So when the citta, content of consciousness, has greed, you aware. When it's without greed, also you aware. You go and read the Satipatthana Sutta. It's stated there very clearly. So when it's with the evil roots, it will make you evil. What must you do? You must abandon them. And how do you do it? The five way, following the meditative way. The third and the fourth way is the best. So all of meditation is the third way, leading to the wisdom, which is the fourth way. So relax, aware, silent. Then you realize all of your evil roots, whether it's anger, hatred, fear, sorrow, lamentation, disease, where they are conditioned arising phenomena. When you have wrong view, wrong thought, you stir your mind, that content of consciousness become emotional. It gives rise to the evil roots because you have self-delusion, sakkayadity, and that personality, the egoic mind, condition the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which we have control. So all this is meditation. So when you can develop that wisdom to abandon it, then after that, with that wisdom and the understanding, you can prevent it from arising. That's how you finally can root it out. Then you know from then onward, all this evil root, they will not arise anymore. That's how you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. After that, the third right effort, the fourth right effort is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon them and perfect them. So all this will lead to the development of wholesomeness. So when you are mindful, aware, you keep your precept, you avoid all evil because you can root out the evil roots. So third foundation of mindfulness, citta nupassana, is to be aware when the evil roots are there, when the mental hindrance are there, when defilements are there, when delusions are there. When you are aware, you can develop the understanding to retrospectively reverse it. First, you trace the origination factor through the fourth way, then retrospectively reverse it. That's how you straighten your view. If I don't have wrong view, there is no problem because you will not stir your mind. You will not react to sense experience. You will develop the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. And the reality of the moment is very simple. The Buddha always said, when whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. And it is so profound. So if you were to reverse it, what happened? If the causes and condition is already set, that reality will be that way. Understand now? This condition like that, things will be like that. That's why the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and condition. But this causes and condition already set. This is the way things are, following nature's law. If you want things your way, which is not nature's law, following nature's way, you suffer because you cannot get what you want. And that reality is nature, finished. That's the reason why my teacher, Ajahn Chah, said, only mighty nature rolling by. Nature's law arising and passing away. He know you, he know me, nothing in between. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, mighty nature rolling by. See this, understand this, awaken to this. Then you are always at peace. He know you, he know me. Then who are you? Who gets angry? Who develops the sorrow and the lamentation and the fear? All these are self-delusion. That awareness, nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It can develop understanding. That's why you use it to develop understanding, to awaken. Then the understanding, which is the wisdom part connected to the form and mind, will know how to use that form and mind, and it becomes beautiful. That's how the form and mind liberate, becomes enlightened, free from suffering. Without that wisdom or awakening from the silent mind connected to the form and mind, the form and mind cannot awaken. The form and mind cannot liberate. It will get itself entangled. Well, that one is egoic. But when there is wisdom, then that one is no longer deluded. So the phenomenal world of form and consciousness will have no power over the form and mind because of that wisdom. It can echo and flow. It can see things as they are. It can be with the moment without any movement, emotion, or wrong view. It can just stay. And everything is so pristine, so beautiful, so wonderful. And life becomes so meaningful. Then the world is the world. Living beings are just the way they are. Not only human beings, living beings are just the way they are. Then existence becomes wonderful. Life becomes meaningful. Everything is just so pristine and so beautiful. So with this understanding, we can really understand life. Then we can really live life to the fullest. And we can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Every moment, every instant, life is so beautiful, so meaningful, that he know you, he know me. There is no one born, no one sick, no one die. Delusion is gone, ignorance rooted out. But the form and mind remain, the wisdom remain. That's how life can become beautiful. And this is what the third phase of Dhamma is all about, Pativeda. You get to live the life of an enlightened being. And that is the most beautiful and wonderful part of your life. Nothing is more meaningful than that. So awakening enlightenment is very important, very, really pristine. You can develop it. My nature rejoice and congratulate you. And you can really be a true blessing to the world. You become beautiful. You will get to experience all these beautiful mind states that we just discussed today. So hopefully with this understanding, you can develop the understanding of the four foundations of mindfulness and cultivate it accordingly. Then we move on to the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana. As I have explained earlier on, there are five categories of practices of cultivation under Dhammanupassana. The first category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, followed by mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then we have the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, or what the Buddha described as the 18 sense realm. This third category of cultivation will enable you to trace its origination factor and then retrospectively reverse them via wisdom to straighten your view. So when you are mindful of your internal six sense bases and your external six sense bases, then upon contact, the six type of respective sense door consciousness will arise. That's how the 18 sense rhyme come to be. 6 times 3, 18. So our six internal sense bases are very straightforward. We have five physical senses. So we have the eye that can see, the ear that can hear, the nose that can smell, the tongue that can taste, and the tactile that can feel sensation and all those things. Then we have a mind together with the brain that can trigger off mental consciousness. So these are the six sense bases within our physical body internally. Then externally, what we receive from outside are the sense data. The sense data are the six respective external sense bases. So what are the sense data for our eye to arise a seeing consciousness? They are the color, shape, and form that we receive through our eye consciousness. So upon contact, we can become conscious of what we see. And what do we see? Color, shape, and form. That's how you come to know the world, through your seeing consciousness. And this is one of the most important life, what they call a special gift from nature. We have this ability to be conscious of what we see, what we hear. That's how we have this sight and sound. Now our civilization, they also know that this is very useful, sight and sound. If you cannot hear, cannot see, there is no sight, no sound. What happened to you? Your life is like 40% gone. Because the most important one actually is sight and sound. If these two senses are down, you are miserable. You can smell, you can taste, you can tactile feel. But your thought process, a lot of things is missing. The sight and sound bring in a lot of sense data. So when you understand all this, you will appreciate nature. That's why I always have this gratitude towards my karmic nature, my spiritual nature. For the understanding it has developed, for its ability to take care of karma. That's why every line my nature come, my form and mind is beautiful. Even this line, to be born perfect with the senses, without defect, is already a great blessing. Do you agree? Yeah. Then not only that, no, I went for allergy test. All the tests they did, I got negative result, no, except the sample. There is one test sample. Yeah, when the doctor told me, he looked at my result, he was so amazing. He said, wow, you are one of the very rare ones. Huh? You got no allergy at all. I said, still got one positive. He said, if that one is not positive, then you cheated. Yeah, that is the test sample. The control, the test sample, the control. So if I have taken antihistamine or what, then that sample will be negative also. So that control sample confirmed that I am not allergy. I didn't take any medication to pass the test. So in a way, when my nature look back, it's all because of the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom that has already been developed over the eons and eons of cultivation. Otherwise, it's not possible. That's why we will have gratitude towards nature, our karmic nature, our spiritual nature. We will thank our good karma. And to have this teaching and this understanding and to cultivate, to have the good life, we really have to thank all the Sammasambuddha who developed the cultivation, perfection, and awakening, and bring forth this teaching to the world, delivered to humanity, to living being free. This is the only free lunch. Because as human, we always hear this sentence, there is no such thing as a free lunch, which is very true in that sense, except the Dhamma. Because Dhamma cannot be price. You cannot put a value on Dhamma. It's the priceless gem. So all this understanding will unfold. So when you understand the six internal sense bases, the six external sense bases, then you will be able to silence your mind, to be mindful within, and allow the nature process to take place. Then how, when you allow your consciousness to go to that particular sense organ, like when you are at the eye organ, EYE, then upon contact with the sense basis and the sense data, the 18 sense line trigger off. That's how you become conscious of what you see. So within that seeing consciousness, the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only that consciousness, like the physics experiment. The light bulb lights up. No one to see as yet. That's why there is no sakayadity, no self-delusion. That is the pure seeing, the direct seeing, without words, without concept. But the moment we input the content of consciousness through our memory, our conditioned thinking, our views, our opinion, our whatever accumulated scars of memory, phobia, insecurity. So all this is the one that caused the stirring of the mind, the reaction of the mind. And when the evil roots goes in, it makes you evil. It gave rise to the mind state which is very negative, the lack of peace. That's how living beings become heedless, agitated, full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, especially anxiety, worry, they worry a lot. And they are never at peace. They always think of what? Problems. And so many things affect them. The first noble truth, reality, enough to make them miserable. Almost everything in life can bring about worry and anxiety. As you grow old age, sickness and death also can bring about suffering and misery. That's why you worry about your health, your career, your relationship with people, with the world. Then you also worry about money, financial. Then things that you think you own, you also worry about losing them. Then whenever nature's disaster hit, you also worry about the effect, how it can disrupt your life. Even the present pandemic, COVID-19, is a good example. It's just a virus. It has such power over human beings' life. And it has disrupted the whole world economy. And so many people are affected. But of course, it also has its good effect. When they impose MCO to curb, our environment gets cleaned up. We have less crime. We have less usage of vehicle, petrol. Then people don't fly around, don't simply spend money, don't pollute the environment, nature and all those things. But in return, it has its very disastrous economic effect. It brings about a lot of unemployment. It brings about a lot of slowdown in economic activity. So all this will trigger off is the other aspect of disruption to our human life, to our world. So living being, if you are mindful and aware, you can experience all this. You can be sensitive to all this and you can understand the world is the world, condition like that, things will be like that, because humanity has actually did a lot of wrong things, not in accordance with the nature's law. That's how this thing backfire and trigger off all this pandemic and all those things. Sometimes nature's disaster come about through the five panchaniyama, not something that is like random. No, it is all the result of causes and condition. If you have not polluted the world, the environment, and if human beings don't have so much negativity or thought process, the fighting, the conflict, the so-called war and misery, all this will not happen. So to understand the totality of this movement is not easy. You need great wisdom. So as a Dhamma practitioner, we are indeed very fortunate, we are indeed very blessed to have this ability to understand to a certain extent. Those who have developed it more, they will understand more deeper. So I have gone off with the 18th sense rhyme. So this 18th sense rhyme as a final summary, when you are mindful and aware, you will see very clearly. Before you input the content of consciousness, your mind state is beautiful. You are just aware. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. But the moment your memory perceives and you react and stir to your wrong view and your conditioning or habitual tendency, all of the evil roots starts to move. That's how you trace the origination factor. then you come to understand through the senses when you see something you don't like or when you recall something with phobia, fear or negativity of emotion, or when you hear something that is in conflict that you don't like to hear, then you get angry or you become fearful, you stir and you react your mind. Then you can understand why this negativity of mind state of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and even anger arise. So you have to inquire, why do we have to react this way? When I see something, why can't I develop the ability to be at peace? When I hear something, why can't I develop the wisdom to be at peace? When I see something or sense something, why am I emotional? Why do I react to sense experience? How come my mind stir? How did I create all this movement? So when you reflect and contemplate, then you realize what the Buddha taught is very true. You have ignorance. You lack wisdom. You lack right view. You attach to this fire aggregate of form and mind, thinking is you, thinking is real. That's how Sakkaya Ditti come to be. Self-delusion that condition the evil roots that make you stir and react. And when you do it with every moment of sense experience, it becomes habitual tendency. That's how habitual tendency condition your misery, your suffering. This is meditation. And when you understand all this, you ask yourself a very serious question. How can I develop a type of wisdom that will allow me to deal with all this wrong view, self-delusion, so that I will not react, I will not stir? And you all are very lucky because through my past cultivation, I developed this understanding. And my understanding came from the Buddha's teaching. Where the Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So when I understand that, my answer unfold. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Means what? The world is the world. People are just the way they are. I cannot say why he is like that. How come he do that? That is selfish. That is delusion. But he is the way he is. Understand? If his mind state is deluded, he will do deluded things. If he has selfishness, self-delusion, he will do selfish things. If he has emotional negativity, he will react negatively, emotionally. So he is the way he is. Then the world is the world. We are conditioned like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. So learn to understand this. Like the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are. Develop the direct seeing, jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality, of the truth. Seeing things as they are. Means what? Their reality. And their reality is, you cannot argue. Not your truth, not my truth, nature's truth. Condition on that, things we learn it. So when you have this wisdom cultivated, you can be at peace with every moment of sense experience. And this one, the Buddhist documentary teaching doesn't have this anymore. It only has the words, sitting as they are. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. But nobody can link and explain it to you. That's why that missing link prevents understanding. And this nature, I developed this understanding through my past cultivation. I never learned them this life. But I had the benefit of the Buddha's teaching. And that one maybe make it easier for me to explain.
Yeah.
My daughter got something to elaborate.
Yeah. Thank you. think my dad mentioned that the elaboration of the causes and conditions are missing. Yeah, so what I slowly start to realize is like when my dad say angry person will say angry things, selfish person will do selfish things. So for example, when you see someone that is selfish, because there were a lot of causes and conditions that set him the motion to make him the person he is at that moment. It could be that that morning he had a bad day, or the day before he got swindled by someone, so he become very selfish today. Anything that causes and conditions, he could have a whole childhood upbringing, whole family is selfish, so he also becomes selfish. There's so many causes and conditions, the how many years he has lived will create all the conditions for him to be like that that day. So when you say he shouldn't be selfish, you're not accepting all the conditions that over the years have happened to him. You cannot accept him for who we are. That's why seeing causes and conditions and finally accepting the person for who they are is actually a lot of causes and conditions to see. Yeah. It's not one cause, one condition. So entangled the whole history of that moment. Yeah.
Sadhu. Let us rejoin. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then just to add on to what my daughter has shared, there is another very important point that you can pick up if you are mindful and aware. So what she went through is very good. She starts to understand more and more how people become the way they are because of the conditioning. It could be the environment, their whatever education or family acquaintance, and the relationship that they develop as they go through life. Then if we as an individual use our conditioned thinking, the mundane mind, the egoic mind without the wisdom to reason, to analyze, then what will happen? Now this comes back to the question of the song one, remember? You cannot use thought to analyze and reason. Like my daughter said, you cannot question why he is so selfish, why he is so deluded, why he do such thing. But you have to understand the causes and conditions behind he becoming what he is, where he is the way he is. So if you analyze what happened, if you try to reason what happened, you will end up in argument, understand? With your view against another person's view. That's why no amount of analysis and reasoning can solve your problem. Problem cannot be solved by the thought, analyzing, reasoning. But this will lead to views, opinion, and conditioning. But everyone is different. This is not truth. Truth is the reality. He is the way he is. Finish. No more question. No more reasoning. No more analysis. No more trying to be right or wrong. Understand? So what she went through is very good. She analyzed, don't use that word, it's taboo. She mindfully developed the understanding that all this come about through the various conditioning that mold him, like us, the individual. We are molded into what we are. Before you have the wisdom, you are a conditioned form of mind with the views, opinion, and the conditioning. So all this come about through nature's condition, your karma, your whatever karmic inheritance, your, like the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So knowing that all these conditions that brought us to be what we are is karmic. So what must we do? We must take care of karma. That's it. That's the only way out. That's the only solution. That the law of karma has great bearing on our life. Our life is almost entirely dependent on karma. Without wisdom, you cannot liberate from the entanglement of karma. You will be conditioned and supported by your karma, like the Buddha said. Every moment, every instant, you are what you are because of your karma. So all this understanding is very beautiful. So don't try to analyze, don't try to reason and argue with people. So this understanding is very, very profound, very deep. So when you understand this, your mind become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. Because no point reasoning, isn't it? No point arguing, isn't it? No point analyzing, isn't it? Why this guy like that? Tell him so many times, also he's still like that. So in life, there are a lot of such circumstances where everyone is different. So you cannot like force a person to do things that they don't understand and they don't like. So there are many things in life when you understand that you will not waste your time. Like Hitler's thinking. What for? It brings about more wrong thought, negativity of mind state. Then why you think? Think for what? You only think when there is a need to reflect and contemplate. You use thought with wisdom, with understanding to arise the right thought. That is the correct way of using thought. You inquire. You don't go and analyze and reason. Inquire means the Dhamma way. That's why you reflect, you contemplate and inquire the Dhamma way. The second turning of the Four Noble Truths is taught by the Buddha. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? You don't go and ask question, why is there suffering? That is delusion, isn't it? Suffering is everywhere, isn't it? Without wisdom, you suffer, isn't it? But you have to understand, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Ah, that one is different. My daughter got something to add. While I go to the washroom, I need to go to the loo.
I think there was a discussion I had with my dad a few days ago about inquiry. Then I remember there was one very important point he mentioned. If the inquiry leads you to more confusion, more agitation, then that one is analysis already. That's justification and reasoning already. But if your inquiry, every inquiry you add on, you become more peaceful, less agitation, less restlessness, more and more calm, then that kind of inquiry is the investigative Dhamma inquiry. Yeah, that's the reflection and contemplation. So there is a very key difference between what type of inquiry you're doing. Is it creating thought, creating more layers to your banana stem analogy of Sankara? Or are you actually peeling the layers away, the inquiry that leads to more peace, and then in the end, there's nothing to think about anymore in the center? Yeah. I'll wait for my dad to come back. Ananda, you have something to add? Maybe I can continue talking for a while. The question why this came about, actually somebody asked, is Yoniso Manasikara right thought? And when you have right thought, then does that mean you lead to right inquiry? And is that inquiry right speech? And then actually, no, the Yoniso Manasikara is a very innate thing, is an intuition. There's no words when Yoniso Manasikara prompt you. It's an intuition, you get a feel, not really a feeling yet. But then after that, it will prompt you to go towards the arising the right thoughts. Then when you have the thoughts, you will have the right inquiries, and then it will help you solve your problem, the mundane problems in life.
Then also, I told my daughter, Yoniso Manasikara is the initial wisdom that you have to develop it first. You cannot have Yoniso Manasikara as right thought, because you have not developed it through the second turning of the Four Noble Truths and the first turning or the third turning. You don't have that wisdom. So without that wisdom, it cannot come out and prompt you at the moment of sense experience. then you don't have the understanding. You cannot act. So to act, you need initial wisdom. That's why step four of Avijja Sutta is initial wisdom. Before you have that, your mind react to sense experience, so create a lot of wrong thought. So what my daughter shared with you is very good. Do you want to know whether you are doing analysis and reasoning or inquiry to the Dhamma way? You check whatever thought you create. If it leads to suffering, misery, lack of peace, argument, conflict, that is wrong thought. That is analysis, reasoning. But if it's inquiry, it leads to wisdom, it leads to peace, it leads to understanding, it leads to joy. And everything is like so beautiful, so amazing. Like the Dhamma keep on arising. Like when you inquire, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? And how can I understand birth is suffering? Then when you start to reflect, contemplate, then you develop the great understanding, then you realize, oh, the Buddha is so one. No wonder birth is suffering. Because now you can see with clear understanding the whole process. Then you become sensitive to life. You are not constantly caught in your own thinking, your own heedless thinking, the cocoon of wrong thought that condition your emotion. When you have wisdom and understanding, you have less and less emotion. You have more and more peace, leading to tranquility and stillness. Because wisdom frees the mind, liberates the mind. Whereas the opposite entangles the mind. Delusion, wrong view, wrong thought entangles the mind, creates misery, negativity of mind states. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, so we complete the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases and the 18 sense rhyme. So this training, the third category of Dhammanupassana, is very important, very beautiful. Then after that, the fourth category of cultivation is mindfulness of the 7 factors of enlightenment. But after you complete the third category of cultivation, you would have developed the straightening of view and wisdom and understanding. Then you become at peace most of the time. Then after that, your cultivation will be very smooth sailing. Then everything like becomes very clear to you, fall into place. Then because you have done it correctly, the 7 factors of enlightenment that brings about enlightenment will keep on arising. Then when you have that understanding, your mindfulness becomes so beautiful. It's like the spiritual faculties. Because most of the enlightenment factors are spiritual faculties. The first enlightenment factor was sati. You realize throughout the day you are in that state of sati, awareness. That's why you are mindful of that enlightenment factor. Then throughout the day, initially, you constantly investigate into the Dhamma. Dhamma investigation is like a daily process. Everything in life can be investigated into. Then you realize when it stands up to investigation, there is so much joy. Everything is in accordance with the Dhamma way, with the teaching. It accord perfectly. And because of that, it will give you faith. Then it will drive you to cultivate. That's how you experience the third factor of enlightenment, which is virya. Virya, the spiritual zeal. You can feel it. You can be aware of it. That one is driving you, the force. Then when you have virya, you will experience pity. Because it will bring about the stability of mindfulness training, your cultivation. It will drive you to cultivate. So when your sati stabilizes and become more stable, when you can realize your silent mind awareness within to such level of stability, then you have this what they call very unique experience of the calm state of mind, which is piti. Piti will arise. Then from piti, you may go to sukhang. But sukhang is not an enlightenment factor, and you will know. You will not attach. Then you will relax deeper and deeper until your mind becomes very quiet and very still, until the piti also gone, the sukhang, everything is gone, until your mind becomes very quiet, very tranquil and still, until there is no movement, no activity at all. That is the fifth enlightenment factor, paucity. That paucity enlightened being always have. They are always in that state of stillness, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is your true mind, your awareness nature. That's why paucity enlightenment factor will be perceived. You will be mindful of that. You are constantly aware of that. That's why you are ever mindful. Then when that mind stabilizes into samadhi, means at the moment of sense experience, it no longer stir and react. It can remain at peace. It can see things as they are. And then you realize you have samadhi. Then you will not stir at the moment of sense experience. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think of something, your mind is always at peace, with that stability of samadhi. That's how you have the ability to see things as they are before the memory comes in, to perceive things. Then the wisdom takes over. That's how you act. You act from wisdom. You act with understanding. You no longer act from memory. Then when the wisdom stabilizes through this understanding, through this direct seeing and awakening or insight phenomena, then you develop the last factor of enlightenment, which is upekkha. Upekkha is the result of wisdom, the equanimity of mind. Your mind becomes equanimous because it has wisdom. It can see things as they are. It can accept the reality of the moment. That's how the seven factors of enlightenment, you can be mindful of them, and they always arise within your meditation throughout the day. Then you know you are on the right path. You will not fall back anymore. Then you know enlightenment in the here and the now is a matter of time. Yeah. So mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment is a very good way of checking your cultivation. If you think you are enlightened, then you check whether the enlightenment factors are there or not. If you hardly have any enlightenment factor, then please be realistic about yourself. This is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. But the meditation as taught by the Buddha has these seven main factors of enlightenment. So if you don't even have sati stabilized as an enlightenment factor, then you are far from being enlightened. You have to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, means constantly investigating the Dhamma. Then you must have the virya developed. Then you must experience piti, then paucity. Paucity is very important. When your daily mindfulness stabilizes, you are in the state of paucity most of the time. Specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. You just aware, mindful, that's it. Then the mind is so stable, smart, it does not stir and react to sense experience anymore. Then it develops wisdom. Then it is in the state of equanimity. Means it doesn't need samadhi later on to become peaceful. Then you can, the form and mind can grow old, get sick, and become very weak. But the wisdom is still there. It will not suffer. It will not be afflicted. It will know how to relax and let things be. Then there is no delusion, no clinging, no grasping. The aggregates are pure. That's why it's very different. So with that, we move on to the last category of cultivation, mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. So here, the Satipatthana Sutta is silent on this practice or cultivation of the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. Actually, it's the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths and its tree turning. Yeah. And I read on the last paragraph. Once enlightened, there is no more self-delusion. So one will never be deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live life, to live the noble life wonderfully and meaningfully, following Noble Eightfold Path, then become a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutta say true emptiness is wonderful existence. So all this can be understood. Eh? So the last category of cultivation, the cultivation of the Four Noble Truths, is actually the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. You have to turn all the four truths three times. First is through hearing, proclamation of truth by the Buddha. So you can nowadays read about it. Yeah? Then maybe listen to the recorded sharing, like the one that we have in our website. Even the recently edited short video, they are very useful, and they can bring about understanding very fast, because they are very direct and very clear. Even nowadays, people start to appreciate. Those two that commented, that Jin Hao sent to me, I didn't know until I read them. These are people whom we don't know. They are from all over the world. I also don't know from which country they come from. But their comment is really amazing. Well, they haven't heard of this type of Dhamma. One of them, Amit something, I think he commented, this is so powerful. And the other one also very good. He said, thank you so much. He said, you have like helped remove a lot of headache from him. And he said, your talk is so precise, so direct and so clear. He said, it has nothing of the Western BS, means what? Or bullshit. So the way he put it, like he was full of joy. Yeah, he never heard this type of sharing before. It's not from the textbook type. It's not repeating what people popularly believe or from the text. This one is from cultivation that develops the understanding through itself. That's why it share without having referred to anything. It just share. Then from the nature it arises. So more and more people now start to appreciate the teaching, the understanding. Well, earlier on it was a bit too ahead of time. I realized the world was not ready. In the year 1989, the world was not ready. Even after 15 years, when I started coming out to share 204, the world was still not ready. Only recently, after many years of sharing, then only people start to develop the ability to understand. But nowadays, I realize those who are serious with the faith and keen, when they have their past, they can understand. They will listen attentively. Then they will rejoice. So this is something that my nature also rejoices. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, 10:06. Okay, I will continue a bit more. Part 3, meditation. Understanding what mindfulness or sati is very important. Listen, Sati is before the knowing, just an awareness nature within the moment without thought. that is phenomenal in mind as one without thought. Means whatever phenomena you come to perceive. So the phenomena and your awareness move as one. That is what sati is. Phenomena in mind move as one without thought. Like anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just feel the breathing and then the mind and the breath move as one in complete synchrony and harmony without thought, following the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, one is aware. Breathing out, one is aware. So just awareness of the in and out breath. No need to go and know breathing in, breathing in. Forget about it. Just be with the breath. When you detect the breath, silence your mind and stay with the breath. So like the breath that moves in, the awareness is with it. That's it. Like you bow. Body and mind move as one. That is sati. Don't try to be mindful. That one is the thought telling you. Then you become like very unnatural. You try that trying by the thought make you very unnatural. The bow means bow. Bow until the body and mind move as one. Then the form and mind will know what sati is. Because it's like when you become very skillful, no need to think on that whole thing move as one. Your action and your awareness move as one when you become very skillful. Even riding a bicycle, walking, running, you walk until the natural pace. Like, no need much effort to walk. When you go for a Sunday walk or whatever, you just walk. Then you will know there is a natural pace that you would like to walk. Where that is your mindfulness pace. Because when you are just mindful, you walk like as if you don't need much energy. Then that time you seldom think. But when you are thinking a lot, heedless without in thought, you cannot be graceful. You cannot be in the state of mindfulness when you walk. When you move, act, or do anything, without thought, you are mindful. The moment thought comes in, you are no longer mindful, no longer aware. So this understanding is very useful. Then second paragraph, a calm and peaceful mind is only a byproduct of a well-trained mind. But the main purpose and intent of the Buddhist teaching or the Buddha's meditation is not about becoming peaceful and calm only, but to develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations. So remember this, the wisdom is very important. A lot of people chase after the byproduct because they find that peace is very difficult to come by. So they even willing to pay money to be peaceful. They go for auto-suggestion, listen to music, relax inside. I think Japan, developed country, now they have more and more of this type of cafe or gym or what. You go in and pay for your 15 minutes or 20 minutes or something like half an hour to calm yourself down. They have music to auto-suggest to you and calm you down. So all this, they are starting to do the sales to attract people. So we call this auto-suggestion. But if you can meditate with understanding, you don't need all this. You can develop it in a more authentic way. Okay, I will read on. Otherwise, one will be trapped with a mind that is attached to the calm and peaceful meditation as a good meditation. And when your meditation is not peaceful and calm, then you are afflicted and you label it as a bad meditation. Hence, your sensual desire and ill will, which are mental hindrance, are still there. Like the saying goes, any sense experience, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering or dukkha. So whatever sense experience, if you cling attached, it will lead to suffering. Even very fantastic and so-called good meditative experience, including the experiencing of jhana, ability to see nimitta, etc., are just conditioned arising state within meditation. And unless one can develop the wisdom out of them to free the mind, then they are of not much use. So always remember this. Huh? Then 3.2 is a question. I follow your instruction just being aware and not and no more noting. Is this correct? So this is very dangerous. The spelling is wrong. Huh? So I will read the whole question again. Huh? Brantel, during the meditation, when I hear the birds very loud chirping or excited chirping, I follow your instruction. Just be aware and no more noting. Is it correct? See, that is the trouble with cultivator. When they ask this question, it points very clearly that they are not doing it with understanding. Means they want me to confirm right or wrong. You must find out on your own, inquire. If you have done it with understanding, this question doesn't arise. Do you understand? We're human beings, very funny, you know, all the cultivator. They like to ask this type of question. But till I follow your instruction, I silence my mind, I relax, I aware. Then after that, they describe something else. Correct? Then if I say right or wrong, then they say, so what must I do? Means you are waiting for answer. You are not meditating. To meditate is to inquire, to develop the understanding. When you understand, then only you can meditate. If you don't understand, how can you meditate? So this aspect of cultivation need to be instilled in the individual. So I will read my answer, then you will understand. I answered that sister, it is very dangerous to do that, because when you quote me and follow what I say via your own interpretation of it without proper understanding, where you think you understand what I say, but you do it without proper understanding.
I always hear a lot of talk, talk, talk. Normally when you massage or you don't massage, I go outside.
Oh, sorry, your speaker is on.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you have to mute. I'll be mute for you. Mute already, okay. Sorry, yeah. So you have to be mindful of your speaker, otherwise your sound will come in. Okay, I'll read again. It's very dangerous to do that, because when you quote me and follow what I say via your own interpretation of it, without proper investigation to develop your own understanding, then you become gullible. This is very true. But you should inquire and investigate into it and develop your own understanding. Not to go and quote me and interpret what I say. That one is dangerous. The reason being, when you are fully aware and without thought, the listening is very different, because it is with the silent mind in full creative awareness and attentiveness. Only then can you truly awaken. We are clearly witnessing the condition arising nature of the hearing consciousness within your meditation. Because this is not as a concept or a theory, but truly realizing it during the meditation. So that is why I always say, don't quote me, but just cultivate to investigate and find out for yourself whether what I have said to you is the truth or not. Don't just believe me and be gullible, okay? Nevertheless, it's a good question, because if you don't ask, I cannot point out your mistake and explain further. When you meditate, you just relax your body and mind and maintain the silent inner awareness to be watchful or observant, or to observe what is going on within one's form and mind. How one reacts to sense experience and get conditioned into the various mind state to become afflicted via one's heedlessness and wrong view, and how one functions as a human being, and how we become what we are, how our mind, thoughts, feeling, and emotion arise and pass away, following the dwelling of the law of dependent origination. All this, you are silent, without thought. The moment you arise a thought, you cannot observe. You cannot be mindful. The moment you try to arise the thought and reason or know, you are already out of the awareness. So don't try to know. Just silent. Listen. Listen without the listener. Just aware. The art of listening without mental, your memory coming in to interfere. Just silence everything and be with the moment, just aware, 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 and find out. So awareness or sati is the silent mind before the knowing, and it's just aware and without thought. That's why you must stabilize it. That is mind and phenomena as one in perfect harmony and synchrony to move and flow with life. But due to ignorance and delusion, the mind cannot become heedful or mindful because it thinks a lot and becomes very heedless via its habitual tendency. So through ignorance, the mind keeps on reacting to sense experience to arise the like and dislike, fear, worry, and anxiety, and restlessness of mind and doubt, etc. throughout the day. These are the five mental hindrances of mind that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Such continuous heedless thinking with the mental hindrance will become so habitual, and this is the reason why most living beings think a lot and they find it so difficult to meditate. The moment they close their eyes, there are so many thoughts. So the first thing to do in meditation is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya via your daily devotional puja to counter the hindrance, thereby reversing all the heedless thinking so as to become more peaceful and calm. Another skillful means is to do the mind sweeping method and just feel and relax the body and mind without thinking so as to decondition your habitual heedless thinking. It will also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. This is followed by anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, so as to develop apamada or heedfulness of mind. When the mind is trained and heedful, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, calm, and peaceful. It will just do that. If you want it to be aware at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness, it will just do that. Such a mind can meditate and understand what is going on. You want it to think, then only it thinks. Otherwise, it is silent, relaxed, and just aware within. The mind becomes like your obedient and faithful servant, and it is always at your command to do what you instruct it to do, especially to live life and to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and to live life to the fullest and meaningfully. If the user of thought is wise, then thought becomes beautiful, right and wholesome thought. Otherwise, if the user of thought is evil and heedless, then thought becomes evil. That is, wrong thought that constantly conditions one's evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, leading to all the suffering and misery. This is the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path is all about right thought. The cultivation of the five spiritual faculties is very important because it can help you overcome the five mental hindrances. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, thereby enabling you to understand easily the Buddha Dharma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Radiating love and metta, we are reciting, may this body and mind of mine be well and happy always. Also help complement the cultivation, where it will bring about a calm and composed mind with a lot of inner well-being and happiness. And these positive mind states of good vibration will help improve and strengthen your immune system. When the mind has a lot of well-being, joy and metta, it can become calm and composed, where it is without the heedless thinking and the mental hindrance of mind. Hence, it can be helpful to develop the meditation, especially after a stressful day. If one can meditate to bring about inner peace, inner well-being, and inner clarity of mind, to develop the wisdom then one can be in a state of constant relaxed inner awareness with a lot of inner peace and joy always. Then the next question.
10:28,
we stop here. 3.3, we stop here. Oh, finish it. Never mind. We will finish it off. Okay. Meditation involves two important steps. Okay. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful or ever mindful. We are deconditioned once heedless thinking. Then the second step is to use this trained or heedful mind to meditate. We are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It is also very important to understand what sati is. Also to understand that vipassana is not a knowledge that you can practice or learn via thought-based meditation. Vipassana is an insight or wisdom that has to be awakened to via the direct seeing without thought. And wisdom is not a rigid knowledge that can be learned or practiced. There is an understanding which is not rigid. This is the reason why the Buddha always say he only show us the way, but we have to walk the path ourselves to awaken to it. We stand for the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And pasana is to insight into. So the meaning of vipassana is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, thus awakening to this truth. So now you understand, vipassana is an insight, it's not a knowledge. You cannot use thought. There is no method and technique. You cannot practice vipassana. Your vipassana is an understanding that arisen to the direct seeing. Okay, that's it. Finish. PM. Thank you. So we will stop for all today. Remind me. I think Sister Joyce sent me a message. I think his father's brother passed away yesterday, I think. Oh no. Passed away 2 days back, Tuesday. So she requested us to share merits and transfer merits. We will do that before the Q&A. Okay, let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus of sharing. And may this wholesomeness be shared by all. Whoever who can receive this wholesomeness may be also delegated to them. Then we would like to also specially dedicate this merit to Sister Joyce's uncle. I think the name is Lim Kim Pian. I read and see the late Lim Kim Pian here. He is already age 88, quite an elderly ripe age. So may this wholesomeness pave the way for him to have a better rebirth, a good life in the hereafter. May he be well and happy always in whatever realm or existence he may be now. May he have the good life. May the blessing of the Triple Gem support him and bring forth the causes and conditions for him to have the good understanding of life so that he can live the Dhamma way. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Yeah, no problem. So we will have the Q&A now. Then after that, maybe we will do our own sharing of merits. Okay, we will open up for reporting on meditation and Q&A. So anybody who wants to ask any question or report meditation, you can come in. Today one I think is very good, especially on meditation by Krishnamurti. You all should rejoice and go back and really with the faith, read through it, develop the clear understanding so that you understand what awareness-based meditation is all about. Ability to feel your heartbeat is just the beginning, understand? unless your mindfulness is already very stable, you cannot feel your heartbeat. The doctor also needs stethoscope. The sensei also need to put their finger on the pulse there, tamak. But you, as cultivator, we don't need. We relax, silent, aware. Wherever we locate that mind, it is sensitive. You can feel the heartbeat, the vibration, everything. Then wherever there is contact between your physical body and your pillow or mattress or whatever, that vibration that is going on, you can feel that. Then if you silence your mind, it will start to transform. Then you become more and more peaceful, more and more peaceful, more and more aware, and the mind become more and more quiet. Your heartbeat also will become more and more quiet. So all this can be experienced. Then when you are able to do it, means you have some form of sati developed already, which is a good sign. Means your mind has some form of sati. But this is just the beginning, always remember. Then you have to really realize the silent mind, the awareness, when everything stops. Means your mind has nothing to anchor. Initially, you anchor at the heart there, the heartbeat. Initially, very gross one, like pounding. Then as you relax into it, silent, you become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then like Poching went through. Then there's like a shift of consciousness. Then suddenly, the whole thing also no more gone, no more heartbeat. Initially, it's like no more heartbeat, but actually it's very subtle. But finally, really, the whole thing gone, no more. Then the awareness nature, then she came to know that the thought process, the mundane mind, is very near. Within split second, it can just come out. Well, when you try to know or want to know, that thought come out already. But when you understand, you remain silent, relax, away. Then this one can stabilize until it's very quiet, very still. That's why the silent, that nature, you have to realize it. You have to illuminate it, understand it, until you're very clear, until you can stay there all the time, most of the time. And that is the wisdom energy. That is the nature that is transforming, that can let you see things, understand things, awaken you. That is the real nature. The meditation is from that silent mind, that true mind, not through your thought process, not through all your knowledge, Dhamma knowledge. That one I can really tell you straight. I don't know what word to use. Means straight, like don't want to lie to you. Blunt is a very crude word. like I can tell you, frankly tell you, that is the right word. Whatever you do with the thought will lead you nowhere. Will lead you nowhere. Because that one, that silent, that awareness nature, that is the one that can awaken, not anything else. So the real meditation is to realize that silence, that energy inside there, that movement which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Whenever that thought arises, you will see it very clearly. But when you have gone deep into it, to become conscious, it's not easy. You have to come out of it, then only you become conscious. Then after that, only the thought can come out. But to become conscious is already at the conscious level. So when you are able to relax, silent, aware, and go in deep, you can go into that various mind state, which is very different. There is not the mundane mind anymore. It's that nature transforming itself. Then when the awareness and that nature become one without thought, you can stay there for a period of half an hour, 1 hour or so, then the stability is there. Then from there, the awareness that come out, the listening, the hearing, everything is different. There is the mind that is in sati that listen and hear. It's very different. Mm. Okay? Yeah. So now we open up. Huh? Anybody? You can just come in. Huh? While I have a drink. Gordon has a question.
Hi, Brother Teo.
Yeah. Yes.
I just would like to report my experience.
Ah, good.
Meditation. So in the beginning, when I started meditating, there was a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, that is good. So, able to see that is good. But are you able to relax into it?
In the beginning, no.
Ah, definitely. Correct. Then, very good. Sadhu.
Then I ask. I want to meditate.
Yeah.
All these thoughts, I think I can deal with it later.
Yeah.
So please.
So you can talk to the thought, the mundane mind, you can talk to it.
Give me this time to meditate.
Yeah. Have mercy on me. Allow me to have this space to meditate. Then it will not disturb you. Surprisingly, it will not disturb you. Then you do not worry about it anymore. Earlier on, you try to want it to calm down, keep quiet. It can't, because the thought that one is the thought. It will trigger off and make it active again.
Yes.
You have to actually use a skillful mean to talk to that thought and say, whatever you want me to do, I will do it after the meditation. So in the meantime, have mercy on me. Please allow me to have the space to meditate, to settle down, to experience what the silent mind is all about, to experience what meditation is all about. All this will help, which is very good. So does it work?
Yes.
Sadhu.
The thought is still there. So I just be with it first. And
Be with it is the best. Stay with it. Just the awareness follow. Don't try to know what is telling you. Don't even perceive. Just follow. Be with it, follow. Miss awareness and the thing. Then you see it slowing down.
Yeah. Slowing until down. I think almost the last 5 minutes.
No more thought.
No more.
Very good. So this is the beginning. If you can go through this and repeat this for a few times, the next time you do it, it will be faster, faster, faster. And later on, if you incorporate with your daily mindfulness, but now you are still working. It's not easy, but you try. Whenever you are alone, try to be mindful. Maintain mindful. When you are at home, easier. All the activity, the daily mindfulness. So your religious routine, now you should start to stabilize it. Then when you are in the office, also same. When you leave your house, drive your car, everything mindful away. How you on the car alarm to unlock your door. Then how you move to your car door, which hand move. How you open and how you move in and sit, how you adjust the mirror and check. You have an auto gate, how you on your auto gate, then how you reverse. Everything do it with awareness, mindfulness. This training will help you. Then after that, over a few weeks later, you will become very different. The moment you lie down, you realize all this sankara activity, very much less already, or hardly any already. Then very fast you go into the meditative state. Because these are the heedless thinking, the habitual thinking that continue to move during the day. Krishnamurti call it, those who are heedless, they live a life of disorder, means no order, means they are not mindful, they are not aware, the wisdom is not there. So a lot of this thinking going on, unfinished business which they hold on to, worry here, rush there, trying to do, but they are hardly aware. So because of that, it has this momentum of thinking and habitual tendency. So when you sit and try to meditate, cannot, because this one will move. So all this you start to see, Then when you understand it, you just let it move. Very fast it settle down. Because when you are skillful already, very fast it will settle down. Then I remember after that it become very quiet, very still. Then it moved to the heart. The Anapanasati also already went to the heart, then it moved to the heart. Then when I was at the heart, it become very sensitive. Wherever I locate, it is aware there. Then whatever vibration or movement is aware. Then my heartbeat is very prominent. Then later on, I detected the gateway. Then the whole movement just moved. That's why you have to be very patient. You must be able to relax. Relaxation is very different from what people think. It's very deep. When you are really relaxed, you really relax. Then you may even like, I don't call it a snore. It's like, all of a sudden you release that very relaxed, that one sound only. After that, your awareness pick it up. Then sometimes it may like about to go into the threshold of sleep where you snore. Because you want to go into the unconscious and sleep, then you snore. One sound only. The awareness pick it up. Then you stay aware again. So meditation is to maintain awareness. Means every time you become aware, maintain the awareness. Then let it lapse into the unconscious or the subconscious, means about to sleep. Then the snoring will start. Or when you are very relaxed, that this type of sound will appear, then you will be aware. Then when you're aware, relax again. Then let it go in many times. Then after a period, depending on the individual, you realize you hardly snore anymore. Even if you snore one sound only, the very beginning you already aware inside that. Then you can stay in that state. Then later on you can go into your sleeping state. Subconscious, unconscious, you, your dream, how it arrives, you can be aware. You can know that form of mind inside there with the mundane mind dreaming. The awareness nature is different, can see all this. Then the subconscious release and all those things, how they come out as dream. That's why certain type of dream is like, if you are mindful and observant, like, not connected on the dream. It's like subconscious release. These are the trap phobia that need to be released. Then when your awareness is there, you can see them releasing. Very good, Sadhu. Anything else?
Yes, there's a second part. When Brother Tu was doing sharing, so I begin to relax more. And as I sat down, and I think I went to sleep for a while.
Good. Should go and sleep. Don't worry. Go and sleep. Because if the body is tired after you come from the side, it's very natural. The body want to rest. Go and sleep.
But then
the sleep will be good.
The experience after that was, or during that time was, I can hear your words.
But the meaning is not there. Never mind.
It's like this. Never mind. I cannot
Because it's not from the brain, not from the memory. So just listen. The vibration enough. Stay at the heart. The vibration. Let it go in. Because that wisdom energy will go in.
Okay.
That is the meditation also. Oh, very good, Sadhu. Especially if you want you to go to sleep, you sleep. Because that time the body need to rest and sometimes it need to meditate. That's why sometimes for no reason, it will make you like sleepy. Then go and lie down and sleep. Sleep, go into it. Because that time when you sleep, you know how to meditate already. You will go into that nature. You will go in very deep. Because actually it's the body that wants to meditate already. Your nature know that has to meditate. That's why it will make you sleepy. And just go and sleep. Accord and flow. Don't resist. Don't be like all those people. Are you sleepy? No good. Want to wake up. Forget about it. You need to rest. You rest. You need to sleep. Because that thing is intelligent. It will know for itself. That's why trust that nature. Just let it do. Then when you rest, it's actually the nature doing. It's like the doctor give you antibiotic, then knock you off, then the nature heal you. That's how antibiotic works. It's not to say antibiotic is very powerful. No, it knock you off. It make you groggy so that your thought process don't resist the life force. Then it move. So meditation is when you know how to meditate, you know how to be aware, you don't create thought, then that nature just do. That life force, that nature's energy, it just go in. Then it activate everything. Then that wisdom energy is very transforming. That's why it will open up a lot of things. It will let you understand a lot of things. That's why after that, all the Dhamma like become very clear to you, very easy to understand.
Kamayan, come. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Today's talk very, very good.
Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Then sharing by Sumi also very good.
Ah, Sadhu.
I find it very, very useful.
Yeah, useful, yes. So you have to learn all this. All this come from cultivation. When you develop the cultivation, when you are more sensitive, more mindful, more aware, you need to really listen, reflect, contemplate. Then you have some Dhamma friend who can discuss with you, you learn more. She learned more because she talked to me. A lot of people learn from me by talking to me. You don't need to meditate, you just talk to me enough. If you are attentive, you can listen attentively, you learn very fast. Joyce also used to come and take me for lunch and we just talk. So a lot of Kayamita, they learn by coming to my house, talk to me, or maybe we go for breakfast or tea break, lim tea and all those things. So sometimes it's dinner and all those things, but now MCO not so convenient. Very good, yes, sadhu.
I also want to say, last time the advice that you give me, the time about you know what, right?
Yeah, I know.
Sadhu. So at that time when you give it to me, right?
You cannot understand.
I understand what you were saying.
Yeah, but you cannot do it.
No, I understand. But then I was thinking, how was it applicable to me? Because
You cannot do it. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Because you cannot do it. You have not developed the understanding. You know it's useful, but you have not developed the deep understanding. That's why you cannot do it. It's just like when I say, don't analyze, don't reason. People cannot understand. You say, you crazy. We are living life in the civilization of ours. No? How can I don't analyze thing and reason? I have to analyze, I have to reason. But where does it lead you? That is where the lack of wisdom and mindfulness cannot find out. If you have wisdom and mindfulness, you know that one leads to more conflict, more argument, not understanding. So it cannot solve your problem. You reason, analyze, and you come out with your views, opinion, and maybe planning to retaliate and to tell people off. But it will not solve your problem. So no amount of analysis and reasoning can give rise to wisdom. Well, wisdom way is to resolve the whatever situation or life issue amicably. Whereas the one that analyze and reason is egoic. There is selfishness behind. There is a lot of views, opinion, and conditioning behind. So right according to you may not be the one that is applicable to society, to people, to the world. So all this understanding cannot surface until you have the wisdom born of Dhamma cultivation. So now you slowly understand, which is good, sadhu to you.
Remember I told Varadhyaya, I actually did observe myself, my thoughts, see where is it that I have negative thoughts.
That one will help you. That one will help you. That is what you have to do. Observe yourself. Self-knowledge. See yourself. How you become angry, agitated, unhappy, unreasonable, calculative, then emotional, then how you feel insecure, unhappy. All this mind state, you're supposed to be aware. That's why awareness is just that nature that has the ability to be aware. When you are aware, you will develop wisdom. Because when you are aware, you don't get yourself involved with the emotion. The awareness that is aware is one with that thing and realize that this is condition arising, causal phenomena. Where this one cannot exist on its own. When you silence your mind and be with it, like Kok Lun Dei or do it, then you realize it sees this emotion, whether it's your anger or your fear or your unhappiness, your sorrow and your lamentation, they will cease. Because these are conditioned arising mind state. Can follow, eh?
I saw.
You saw, ah? Ah, sadhu, sadhu. Very good.
Yeah,
so, no need to reason.
Then
all this you realize is because of your wrong view. Your sakayaditi, that condition, all this. So why you want to reason? I straighten my view, finish. Straighten my view means not to react this way anymore. Not to become like that anymore. Because this is stupidity, isn't it? This is wasting time, isn't it? Draining your energy, isn't it? No use. All the reasoning and analysis, why this follow like that, why that follow like that, why must I be like that? All this is the egoic mind trying to reason, analyze. No meaning. Are you not tired after so long? Better to be relaxed, aware, silent, and peaceful. That is so much better, isn't it? Okay? Very good. Okay, anybody else? Colin, yeah. Colin got something to add.
For the past few days, actually, I've been having feeling of very nervous and anxious.
Anxiety.
Yes. But day after meditation, I calm down.
Calm down very fast.
Not only that, I also feel more peaceful.
More peaceful, straight away.
Energized.
recharge.
And I think everything happens for a reason. And today's sharing by Krishnamurti.
Very good.
In which he says, in silence, the brain becomes orderly.
The brain becomes orderly. Very beautiful. Now you start to appreciate that phrase.
Thank you. Sadhu.
Rejoice. Thank you. Colin. Very good. Who else? Another 3 minutes. Ananda, okay, Ananda, you can come in now, yes.
Make it up, I want to say that, I was wrong, I've been saying, I have no thought, today I realized the thought is, I'm presuming on images only.
Because you are not really in that silent state to be aware. That's why you are holding on to all the image that tell you you have no thought.
Those I don't have that. But the idea is that today I'm like having the senses, like those imbalance kind of thing. So that's why it's like those also is a hindrance that those are the thoughts that comes in. So that makes me realize some.
And more important, Ananda, always remember the same advice. Are you able to relax? Try it. Do it. It's not easy. To relax is not easy. If you can relax, all the problems you mentioned just now cease. No more than That's why relaxation is an art, not easy. Relax means at ease. Total relaxation, no need to do anything. You must try it. Without thought, you are so beautiful. Why must you think? Human beings cannot understand. They think a lot because they are hardly aware or mindful. That's the difference. Yeah. So you have to go through that training, that phase of heedlessness, then see the heedlessness, then wake up. Because you have a choice, heedful living and heedless living. Which one you choose? If you choose to be heedful, you will never go back to the heedless way anymore. But that one is so agitated, so much what they call stress, suffering, misery. The mind state is terrible. The lack of peace, the anxiety, the insecurity, the restlessness, that heedless thinking. Those are really suffering, misery. But because you are not sensitive, you are not mindful, you are not relaxed, aware, you cannot feel them. That's why to you is like normal. As a human being, everyone is like that. No! When you have the understanding, after you develop the meditation, not everyone is like that. The heedless is like that. That's why the heedless are as if dead. The heedful never die. So, understand this, go into it, develop the faith, then try it out. Relax and maintain awareness. Instruction is very simple. Just relax, don't do anything. Don't try to know. Then let things be. Then let the thought slow down, settle down. Don't do it. Don't even try to know. Just relax. Then you need to sleep, go to sleep. Then find out, like Kotlin, find out. Then talk to your own thinking mind, the mundane mind. Develop skillful means to let it not disturb you. Otherwise it will haunt you, keep on harassing you, like my daughter said, unfinished business. Because throughout the day you got so many things to attend to, and you actually accumulated them in your brain, and that one is so active. That's why off and on you recall, off and on you recall. You keep on recalling. That's why you think a lot. You become heedless. But if you don't have such habitual tendency, such delusion, all this will not happen. You can just be the way you are. Silent. Why is it so difficult to be silent? I find it very difficult to think. But I don't know about you all. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
But to me, I have no thought most of my time. And I don't know why human being cannot be in that state. Because you didn't really train the spiritual faculty, the wisdom, the understanding. When you have that, your form and mind become beautiful, your brain become beautiful. There is order. Okay? Sadhu.
I actually have few pages things just now written, but it's answered while during the going through the classes. So I will see, I will write and get some comment back.
Okay. Can. You can slowly, you should go through it, then refine it a bit, before you send the gross one. The gross one, actually very difficult to read. But after you have
gone everything,
after you have rephrased, then maybe you go through it, then you send it over, then I will help you to review it. Good, Sadhu. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we better end now. Almost 11 o'clock already. Okay, I think we end. Sadhu. Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu. 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 Okay, good night. Sayonara. Good night to all. Have a good night rest.